I'll call to order City Council meeting October the 13th, 2014, 6 p.m. Could have a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chief. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Anyone with any electronic devices, we would appreciate it if you would turn them off during the meeting as they interfere with our sound system. We could have roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
And Paul Greeno.
Here.
Clark Contner has requested to be excused.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay. Anyone signed up for audience participation this evening? Okay. Jane, if you could come forward, please state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Janie. I live at 790 Alder Street. And I would just like to come in front of the council as a citizen to remark at what a wonderful job the city has done on U Avenue as a biker. It is a fantastic improvement because that is one of my short little loops that I like to take. And it's always like a really, or it has been a real jittery ride to go down that. And it is so nice. It looks very nice. And even in the rain, it looks so level. There are no rain baths. And I understand that that came under budget and under time. So I would really like to commend the city for doing that, and in particular, Public Works.
Thank you, Janie. Appreciate that very much. Okay, the next item on our agenda is written communications. And do we have any?
We received 14 items. Ranging from Birch Bay Transportation Meeting, Amtrak Depot, our audit exit conference, walk around town, and year-round attraction.
Okay, Sherry, I'll just ask if everyone on the council has received their written communications. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. So everyone has got them, so I think we're okay on that. Okay. Let's go to the consent agenda. We're going to approve bills in the amount of vouchers in the amount of $181,497.71, advance pay of $1,427.84, another advance pay of $190, approval of payroll $469,535.70, and approval of our special council minutes for September the 22nd, 2014. Approval of our regular council minutes for September the 22nd, 2014. Approval of the special council minutes for September the 29th, 2014. And a resolution 1650-14, surplus light poles and wood. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Any questions or comments regarding the agenda? Agenda. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries 6-0. Next item on our agenda is council action items. The first one is the review of initiative dash proposition number 2. Mr. Sitkin, I believe that you're going to
I am, Your Honor.
Discuss to that.
I am, Mr. Mayor. Last meeting we were here. The last meeting on Proposition 1. As you recall at that time, Proposition 2, which dealt with eliminating certain provisions, in a collective bargaining agreement and restricting certain aspects of what the city could, or representative of the cities could negotiate in a collective bargaining agreement, lacked sufficient signatures to be a valid petition. We did not ask you to take action in any manner on that. We had recommended that you, on Proposition 1, that you not take any action put on the ballot, or you pass a resolution affirmatively stating not to put it on the ballot. You decided the latter and passed a resolution not to put the matter on the ballot on my legal advice, that it was not a proper basis of a for a petition or initiative. Under the law, the party seeking the petition, after receiving a certificate of insufficiency from the county auditor, have a certain number of days to supplement that petition to seek to have sufficient signatures. They did that. The county auditor issued a certificate of sufficiency. That now comes before you to consider action to place it on the ballot. This is the same discussion we had before with Proposition 1. You can take action to put this on the ballot. You can pass the ordinance as presented without further action. It is my recommendation, however, because I believe, as I've said in a prior memo and discussed before with you, that it is not a proper use of the initiative power. I'll explain that. So my recommendation to you tonight is that you take no action. This would not go on the ballot. If you wanted to take action, my recommendation would be that you take action affirmatively stating you would not put this on the ballot. The reason why I believe this is not proper use of the initiative power, there's a few reasons. But in sum, as I described last time, the power of initiative is granted by the people is on matters that the state legislature has delegated to the city as an entity. You don't have, people in a city don't have the inherent power of initiative. They have that which is granted by the city if the city accepts it. The city has taken the power of initiative for the people of the city. However, the state has limited that essentially to that which the power of the city is an entity. The distinction is twofold. If it's a matter that the state legislature has granted to the city council as a legislative body, that was not a grant of power to the city as an entity. That was a grant of the power that only the legislature can act. So therefore, it's not a matter that's subject to the initiative process. The state legislature has granted to the city, through its legislative body, the ability to collectively bargain. Thus, it's not appropriate for matter for the initiative. Only the legislative body can act with regard to collective bargaining. This proposition seeks to restrict the city from entering into union security agreements, using terms of how the city may utilize its funds in a collective bargaining agreement, and similar matters, the substance of collective bargaining. That's not a proper use of the initiative power, again, because it's granted to the city legislative body, not to the city as an entity. Some of you who are on the council during some of the airport discussions and the initiative that was started then, this is similar. Their ability to operate and maintain an airport is a decision of the city council, not a power in the city as an entity. If any questions, my recommendation again is you either take no action or you pass a motion, like you did last time, saying that you would not put this on the ballot.
Any questions for John? Charlie?
No.
Okay. Yes. When they made the counts as far as verifying the from the auditor's office, is that just the Blaine residence?
Is that Blaine what?
Is it only the Blaine residence?
Voters in Blaine, and the certificate of sufficiency, and we have our copies here.
Because we have addresses that are Blaine, but they're not within the city.
It is to be within registered voters in the city. The last day of the general election last year. So 15% of those signatures were needed. They was 460 people was needed. They had 545 signatures. 476 were valid. So of the 15%, they needed 460.
So they members. Verified against.
They verified the, against the city residents. That okay, 476
that's what I wanted.
People. Registered voters in the city.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, Anyone want to discuss this any further, or anyone care to make a motion?
I'd like to make a move to be done, but we do not put it on the ballot.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. Any other comments or questions?
Question.
For those of you who have
proposed the second motion,
what is the
advantage of having the motion for the whole reason to do nothing?
John, would you like to comment
on that? It has, I think it's a political statement, right? No, it has no legal effect. The action, no motion would not cause us to go to the auditor to place on the ballot in a special election. So no vote, no action would have the same effect.
Okay, so
it's a political statement.
Refuse to take action whatsoever, then essentially we refuse to take a stand either for or against opposition two. If, however, we vote the motion and it passes, then we are taking a political stand vis-a-vis opposition two.
That's my assessment, political assessment. But that's a political assessment, and I would concur with that.
Then my preference, I believe, would be to remain resolute and neutral and take an election tonight.
Paul, the only thing I think we have to take into consideration is that we voted on another proposition, which came in at the same time, and it's probably reasonable for us to be consistent in our approach, since we took it on a vote of 6-0 to decline to put number one on the ballot. And I would think it would be wise to be consistent to put number two exactly the way we handled number one. Hey, Bonnie.
The first proposition was having to do with transparency.
The first proposition is transparency. It was going to require notice to the media, require
right.
all meetings with collective bargaining representatives, whether it's one council member, one
open
staff,
negotiations, basically.
The, public, yes.
The second one is allowing employees the right to not join the union. Is that correct?
That's the union security agreement that would tell you that the state, the PERC, public the state law has said that is a matter that must be collectively bargained. This would prevent the city from collectively bargaining that issue. City can negotiate to not have those provisions in a collective bargaining agreement. You're not obligated to have them, but you must collectively bargain that issue. And so what this proposition would do would bar the city from negotiating that provision at all. That would be, in my view, an unfair labor practice. State law is fairly clear that you're required to collectively bargain at that point. And so by forbidding you to collectively bargain that would put you in violation of state law.
Okay, I'm faced with the details. I withdraw my objection.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table. It has been seconded. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Hearing the motion is carried 6-0. Next item on our agenda is a council action item, agreement with Nature's Path for treatment of high-strength waste. Sounds exciting.
Good evening. Yes, we go from topics of personnel to topics of wastewater, but actually this is a pretty exciting moment for me before you today, something I've been working on pretty much since I walked in the door and something the city has been working with since early 2000s when we lost the high-strength treatment of waste of Nature's Path due to our permitting restrictions and the capacity at the old wastewater plant. As has been said to me numerous times, Lighthouse Point was designed with Nature's Path in mind. And so this is a realization of that. Nature's Path has been trucking their processed water since we turned them away. And with the cost of fuel rising, and as I understand it, the farms that are allowed to accept that waste are also kind of creating more restrictions on their part. Nature's Path has done some work on the site to enable them to send us the, we're calling it the bar line, but it's essentially their wash water. And they've implemented some measures already to make sure that that is not a big rush of flow to the plant and then, you know, a feast or famine kind of cycle, but more like a regular amount of flow. This agreement doesn't do anything to change the rates that are going to be charged. It's all per the unified fee schedule, so I kind of wanted to emphasize that. What this agreement really does is enable the city to implement that unified fee schedule within the confines of our accounting system, as well as to provide a much more predictable rate for them. So the idea is we're going to use an average of what has already been provided us. That's going to be their base rate for the next 6 months. Then we do kind of a check and balance with their lab results and their flows and tests and so forth. And then we'll true that up, and that'll become their rate for that following 6 months. And that's really what this contract does, and will allow for future revisions to the unified fee schedule without having to revise the contract. So that's kind of the main highlights of the agreement. The other thing that it does is kind of prescribe communication with the city, and if there is notification or if we are experiencing issues with the waste that they're sending us, it gives us a way to stop the flow as well. In any event, we're very hopeful that this is the beginning of what will be long-term and mutually beneficial relationship, and we recommend your authorization to sign this agreement with Nature's Path Manufacturing Facility for the treatment of their high-strength waste.
Questions for Raven?
Is it going to go into the pipe, the sewer system? Is it going to be piped from your plant to the system around that?
That's correct. The piping actually is in effect. They tried ineffectively to pre-treat their waste at one point in time, and unfortunately it wasn't effective, and so that valve has been closed. So it's essentially opening a valve, reinstalling a flow meter and a composite sampler, which they already have, I mean, the cabinet for and everything. They're coming out this later this week to calibrate everything, and we're hoping we're going to be a full go, systems go. At that time.
Is the monitoring, is that a third party that does that?
Yes, sir. It'll be third party, as well as there'll be random checks by our wastewater personnel.
Are there chemicals involved here, toxic nature or non-toxic nature?
No. Yeah, this is it's an organic facility. They're highly concerned about sustainability. Really what we're looking at is the sugar. And that sugar creates a lot of biological oxygen demand, which can be challenging for different wastewater plants. It's a good thing for a wastewater plant in moderation. And so the surcharge, which is what's calculated based on the testing, is something that offsets that increased amount of maintenance cost to the plant.
Does sugar have a negative effect on fishing or fishes? Or?
Well, it's completely treated at the plant.
The so nothing goes back out into the ocean?
Our
just carbon dioxide.
Yeah. The stuff that we release from our outfall is incredible. I mean, the state allows us to have certain percentages for each component of the waste, and I'm astounded when I sign the reports every month. So many zeros. It's really quite an amazing facility.
Okay.
So is it going to put extra strain on the membrane units or anything like that, do you think? Or is it going to be just a normal?
The only
concern. Maybe you have to replace the membranes that are more frequent rate. Is it going to be enough to cover for that? Or?
That's a good question. The only factor in their waste stream that was a concern for the membranes is the flaxseed. And our screens are small enough that they will capture the flaxseed, if any. You got to remember, this goes through a couple of different pump stations on its way to the wastewater plant. So, you know, the percentage of flax is going to be very, very small.
Paul, you had a question?
And in a very simplified way of saying it.
Okay, so the sugar is either decomposed into something or it's filtered out.
It's a byproduct of the sugar that is the concern, and it both through the agitation and the air does have a certain amount of decomposition, but then the rest of it is treated at the plant. It's called biological oxygen demand, BOD. I know, nothing about wastewater is simple. I will say, you know, that this has kind of been one factor of our treatment of industrial customers. We have several components in our fee schedule for medium strength, high strength, and all that. I think that after we have a little bit of time with this and see what's working and what's not working, we likely will see some change to the municipal code to better address industrial customers, because this has taken an inordinate amount of work by both city staff and in solidarity with the Nature's Path staff to make this work. So it's something that we want to make easier on our industrial customers in the future.
Raven?
No, go ahead, Dennis.
What's the backup for Nature Path in case the plant can't handle their materials? They're now trucking them out, is that right?
Right, and they're going to continue trucking. This is only their wash line or their bar line, so it's about 60% of their waste stream. It's the wettest component of their waste stream, the most watered down. So for their purpose, it actually works well. So they're going to reduce their trucking by a lot. And at the same time, it's the least dense waste that they can send us, and so it's best for the plant. In terms of if there's an issue, and the agreement kind of outlines, you know, at what point in time we establish that there's an issue, it's simply a matter of turning off a valve. Right now, they're charting the path for future industrial customers. We've actually are in conversation a little bit over the expansion of BioFlex, and also with one of the boat washing and finishing places out in the harbor.
So there's some other ones right
now that you have to truck away. I don't think anyone is trucking to the extent that Nature's Path is now.
Any other questions or comments? So this is basically they're just dealing with organic materials, carbohydrates from plants material.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. We're being asked to authorize the city manager to sign the agreement with Nature's Path manufacturing facility for treatment of their high-strength waste stream.
So moved.
Can I make a motion to that effect? Motion has been made.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Say nay. Hearing none, the motion has been carried 6-0. Okay, the next item on our agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. Clark had to leave. Steve, anything on the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee?
No report on that or the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, Blaine Chamber of Commerce, Bonnie.
No report.
WTA, Paul.
No report.
Drayton Harbor, Shellfish.
No report.
Thank you, Charlie. Dennis, how about the Library Committee?
They meet Wednesday, and the repairs to the wall are going fine.
Okay, how about the Senior Center Liaison?
They had a board meeting today, and I don't know what was discussed. Breakfast, October 18th, this Saturday, and they're going to have training classes for the gym. I believe it's October 23rd they start again.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Mr. Jones, Planning Commission.
Nothing for the Planning Commission, sir, but regarding the Park and Cemetery Board, I just wanted to mention that they will be meeting on Thursday, this Thursday at 9:30. They have several items that they'll be working on, but one of them is the makeup of the View Preservation Subcommittee, so kind of beginning to form that. They won't necessarily be appointing all members because they're still will be looking for some at this point, but putting together kind of the representation they'd like to see. And then also the very first work on a preliminary work plan for what that subcommittee will be doing over the next several months.
Okay. Yeah. Small Cities Caucus, report. Finance Committee, Mr. Lesley.
Let's see. We met a couple of weeks ago, and we began to discuss the 2015 budget. We looked at the budget calendar and the milestones that we need to meet. We also talked about preliminary general fund revenue estimates, and then we began discussions on developing a set of recommendations for the 2015 budget. And our next meeting is actually this Wednesday, the 15th at 1:30.
What was the date again?
The 15th at 1:30.
Okay. Thank you. Whatcom Council of Governments, the only thing I had to report on the Whatcom Council of Governments is that a letter has been sent out by the COG on our Vasquez machine. It was sent to Murray, Cantwell, and Dalbeny. It was signed by all of the mayors in Whatcom County requesting that the letter outlines the problems associated with Vasquez, the problems that we're having, particularly when it comes to school buses. And we've asked them to address the problem and see if there's some way of resolving it. So I think it was appropriate to get something with everybody's name on it, and hopefully that politicians will pay some attention to it. I don't imagine they'll do it until after the election's over, but it was nice to have that done. So I've got a copy of the letter, and I'll bring it in and give it to everybody. Okay. We have from Chief Hollander the letter, or the pamphlet, or bulletin, whatever it is. I've got a copy somewhere. So we've got that. Latest information we've got. I've lost my agenda here. Okay. So we got that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to know when the Economic Development Advisory Committee meeting was.
I was going to report that. It's going to be 4:30 this Wednesday.
Okay.
I was going to meet with Councilman Crockman on the agenda. We'll get that out tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, Dennis.
Jeff, the Finance Committee is going to meet what day again?
This Wednesday, the 15th, at
1:30. Any other thing? Okay, department reports, public works.
All right, a bit to report on tonight. Bear with me. I guess the one topic that was hard to miss on the way here is the elevator's down. We have a seal leak in the elevator that has been nursed along by our service representative and just couldn't quite get to it in time. We've been trying to get the repair done outside of normal business hours, and
the elevator said that's enough already and quit on us over the weekend. So the repairs will be done first thing tomorrow morning, and we anticipate no issues with it being back in service. Totally unrelated issue to the construction that we undertook earlier this year, and so we're going to be happy to get this bit of service done, and there is no cost to the city. It's just part of our service contract. We needed to get her scheduled. The ESCO project, we turned on our gas service at the wastewater plant today, and so they're now on a new whole pipe gallery. Is being the air circulation through there is all through natural gas. It should help out with the power bill a bit. And the controls work in this building is relatively complete. They'll now start doing some air balancing so we can kind of work with some of the issues with the air circulation in the building. I've had some communication with Fire Chief Hollinger regarding emergency vehicle secondary access to the Hughes Avenue community west of Peace Portal. So I've been working with Michael and the property owner of the Drayton Reach subdivision, which is the Whatcom Skagit housing, in the effort to obtain an easement from them from which Public Works can maybe put in a little roughed-in access road through there for emergency use only. As Janie pointed out earlier, our U Avenue overlay is substantially complete. Very happy with the work that they did, and the work at the police station parking lot also came out really nice. So we're thrilled with that. I hope you're seeing some improvements in drainage. I'll let him give you the thumbs up on that. Let's see, our crew has been very busy doing winterization projects, you know, turning off irrigation and so forth, but also with some pretty large projects for the size of our crews, including ditch digging that you saw in Peace Portal and on U Avenue, and more recently the tree cutting and clearing in the Semiano area. So all hands on deck is pretty much what's making those happen. The city of Shelton, the city manager and mayor of the city of Shelton contacted the city manager and myself earlier this month. I think I mentioned to you that I joined a sewer coalition as a blog of other jurisdictions that are commiserating on the topic of sewer funding and the difficulties in financing. And in this conversation with the mayor and city manager of Shelton, we found out that they have $55 million in sewer debt. Their rates are now $92 and have already in place in their fee schedule for them to go up to $135 a month for residential monthly rates. Similar to the city of Blaine, they had a USDA rural development grant loan combination, and when they bid it, the bids were good enough that they never got to enjoy the grant portion. The loan is always spent down first, and so they are 100% on deck for that debt. In any event, they're asking us to join their coalition, which currently has 60 cities on board. Their major purpose is to hire a lobbyist and get into the legislature to aggressively lobby the state to turn more grant monies over and potentially allow for the refinancing in the form of grants for some of the sewer infrastructure. Their rate of contribution is based on population, and so the rate that they quoted for our participation in that lobbyist is just under $1,000. City manager and I would both like to go ahead and do that, and so I wanted to see if there was any concern from council on that, if we use existing sewer budget to do that, to support these other cities. Not seeing any upset heads there, so I think we'll take that.
That's within the framework. That's legally okay.
If it's part of our existing budget, yes. Okay. Thank you for that. And Finally, before I give you an update on Vista Terrace, I wanted to let you know that Elizabeth Taylor with the Department of Commerce recently sent Jeff an email centrally saying that, thanking us for our participation in the Qualified Energy Conservation Bond that we did earlier this year for our ESCO project, and just to state that they've used the City of Blaine's story as a small jurisdiction as a model of forward thinking and creativity in their presentations for future bonding. So I just wanted to pass that on and thank you again for your leadership in supporting that project. I think it's really neat that the state is using Blaine as a sample of forward thinking. And I'm very proud of that. And then the last thing I was going to report on was the open house that we had for Vista Terrace last week. And I just did a quick PowerPoint just to refresh your memory a little bit on some of the things that we've done with you, talk a little bit about the open house and the follow-up that we plan to have after the meeting, and finally a little quick report on Allen Street construction. So Vista Terrace has been in front of you a few times already this year. Kind of have an overview early April on just the nature of an LID and what it's about and the background of the project, why we chose Vista Terrace in particular, some of the issues with code compliance, and also where limited income assistance might be available to those residents. And then we followed that up in May primarily with a financial presentation showing you some of the alternatives that we have made available by seeking alternative funding for the project. And you passed by resolution the loan with Department of Ecology, which we have now executed. And we provided you three funding scenarios for what we would be bringing to the residents. And then finally, we awarded the first phase of the project, Allen Street, early September. A reminder about where Vista Terrace is. And then just quickly talking about the open house, we had a pretty good attendance. I was a little surprised because it was a Seahawks game night, and many people, you know, grumbled as they walked in the door about missing the game. But we had over 20 property owners in the room. We did a bit of a recap on the LID concept and the project schedule since it was originally approved in 2011. We talked about the current project costs and the funding opportunities that have been made available, because they had not been updated since we got something other than bond money for the project, and also the project cost as a result of the bid award for Allen Street were higher than we originally thought at a concept level. We talked about hookup assistance that's available through the Department of Health, some financing alternatives for people on fixed income, and then the deferral process that's available through the Blaine Municipal Code. And then finally, probably the topic that really dominated the most of the discussion and the questions afterward were the assessment alternatives and what those would amount to in terms of a rate for the property owners. They're still somewhat in the nature of what we presented to you in April, with the exception that decommissioning of the septic systems could still be included, but the actual connection to the main would need to be borne by the property owners. And quite frankly, that was the part that was the hardest for us as a department to come up with an equitable solution that would work with our grant funding. So then finally, the GFF discussion was also quite animated. There were some residents there that felt like because the resolution for, the ordinance for the LID passed at the time when the GFFs were suspended, that they should be suspended to those property owners. And that was not anything that was promised back in 2011, and it's not anything that we were able to offer them at this time. And then, I'm going the wrong way.
why did I do that? And so these are some of the follow-up items that we're working on, and we be in touch with those owners and hope to have a future open house to discuss these and other topics. And one is how to handle properties that might subdivide, since we are looking at one assessment per parcel. In discussions with planning and community development, really there's only a couple of parcels that would even be eligible for subdivision, and one of them has already made an application. So I think this is something that we can work and resolve. There were questions about how accessory dwelling units might affect their assessment, and really since all of them are eligible to have an accessory dwelling, it really doesn't affect the assessment. It's standard across all of the property owners. We need to determine a fair methodology for those who paid a GFF. There's a property owner in the county that connected on each street that already paid the GFF even when they were suspended, because they were not suspended for the people in the county. And it would not be fair to that individual to have to be paid that again through the assessment if that is the method chosen by the property owners. So we're gonna work that out a little bit. There was prior communication about assessments, and people were saying that, you know, the amount has changed and so forth. And I looked through the file. You know, of course, we were a little less technological in 2011 than we are today a little bit. But I was able to find one of the mailings that went out to property owners. And it was, that was quoting over $1,500 a year to the property owners. And certainly any of the options, whether they go with the $58 option or the $82 option a month, neither one of those are $1,500 a year. So I feel like even though the cost of the project has gone up somewhat, the fact that we're going to be able to offer them assistance with some of their private improvements and potentially toward the GFFs is a far cry improvement over where we were in 2011. We'll be having other open houses. I'm thinking potentially in the next month or so to try to gain more participation, as well as to update property owners on the design. We've started an e-list for project communication, so we took down names and email addresses for all the owners so that we can be providing that communication on a regular basis. And then finally, complete the design and bidding of the next phase to complete the project. We cannot start assessing people until the project is all the way built, so we want to make sure that we're following the construction quite quickly, so we're not taking on more debt without having that mechanism to repay it. There, I did that again. I'm sorry. And then just leave it to you for some questions. I think I had said I'd give you an update on the Allen Street portion, and that pre-construction meeting happened last week, and the contractor will be mobilizing tomorrow, and weather permitted, we'll be getting started on the project here this month.
Yes, go ahead. I heard a lot of concerns about the assessment thing. What was the basis for assessing each of the property owners up there?
The basis for the assessment has always been the cost of the project. The project costs, as I alluded, have gone up since the conceptual project estimate was made, but the financing mechanism has changed a lot more in our favor. That was one thing that we talked a lot about in the meeting, was when this was originally adopted in 2011, we were looking at going with standard bonding, with rates much higher than what we ended up with the Public Works Trust Fund loan and the Department of Ecology loan. So,
But each property owner mm-hmm. does not necessarily have the same front footage, nor do they have the same square footage.
We are...
Is it just done on the basis of a
one
lot?
One dwelling unit per lot, yes.
Is so that where the problem runs into then, if you have a lot that's possible to subdivide, that should they be paying for two connections?
They would pay for, if it's a two-lot subdivision, they'd pay two assessments.
But if it's a single lot at the time that the assessment is made,
right,
then and they'll only be assessed for one?
Well, that's one of the things that we're working on with the planning department.
As of this time, we think there's only two properties that have the potential to subdivide, and one of them has already made application. So we would already say that assessment is going to be for that number of lots. And we'll need to work with the other property owner, too, to make sure that this is fair for everybody. The way that the ordinance was set up, it was to be per property. You can do things on a square foot basis or a frontage foot type of basis, but that's not how we elected to do it back when we adopted it in 2011.
Okay.
So we'll be working on that, Dennis.
Raven, while you are here to be congratulated on your future thinking, I just wanted to make a comment to you. Every time I see DelBene's staff, I keep telling them what a marvelous job we're doing in Blaine in future thinking and particularly emphasizing that you're going green. We want to recognize that there's opportunities and we would like to take advantage of them. And I would encourage you, once the election's over, and if DelBene's reelected, that you take the opportunity to meet with her staff and reemphasize that, because what I'm trying to suggest to them is that if they make us aware, or they try to structure things in a way that we can take advantage of. And they've shown a little bit of interest in that. I mean, at the federal level, green is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is promote the fact that we've done a lot already, and we want to continue to do more. Is there things that they could help us with? And I think that would be a very valuable meeting to have. I know they've expressed an interest in it, and I think we should try to pursue that. And I congratulate you on what you've accomplished to date. I think there's a lot more that we can do. And I talked to David about it as well, and I thought maybe perhaps even if we went to this point of hiring a consultant avenues that we could explore, because I think there's a real opportunity here in the next few years to try to take advantage of what the federal government, the state governments are offering in terms of moving in this direction towards at least saving electricity, etc. So,
thank you, Mr.
Put that
Mayor.
V in your bonnet, and I'd like to see us pursue that, because I think there's something there that.
Thank you. I'd be happy to do that.
Yes, Charlie.
More mundane question about the big lights and how they were supposed to be.
It took us, I think, about 4 months just to get the sample.
Oh, I see.
And hopefully they'll be able to turn around the actual lights a little faster, but for right now you'll just have to enjoy it in the conference room.
Yeah.
No, we're real excited about it. I think it's kind of crazy that we have this project with all this high tech, amazing stuff going on at the wastewater plant. I wish I could share how impressed I've been with the work that's undergone there, and you know, to me, it's way above my level in terms of the intricacies of the design and how it's being put into place. But it's probably going to be those lights that are going to keep the project open, because we're going to finish the plant hopefully this month. So, patience.
Anything else for Ed? Thank you, Raven. Mr. Jones, do you want to do the community development?
Yes, just a quick update on the Five Street case. I want to follow up on the past two triangles that are kind of talking about the one who's going to be all of this. I'm not expecting to be this whole community there. I'm going to be all of them. And the idea of
was Chief? Care to do the public safety portion of the department report?
I'm going to just a couple of quick notes. One was a follow-up on the query that the council is talking to you in regards to the trucks parking lot.
It's my anecdotal. I go to work, 6 o'clock in the morning. I drive down that way. You see two or three trucks there. They're gone by 9 o'clock most of the time. I mean, and they're different. They're not the same ones every day, all the time.
That's also what we're finding.
And there isn't that many of them, except on the weekends when the guys are waiting for budget to get across the border. It seems to be more of a weekend.
We put garbage cans out there.
Say how much the fine is too, because sometimes that's enough of a deterrent. Because someone thinks somebody's watching them and writes down their license number, they might think twice. So I think it's good to post it. Yeah, even permanently post it, as far as I'm concerned.
Chief, can we charge people for parking on our streets? I mean, could we set up a box, like you do in a parking lot? You can put in $5 or whatever it is.
There's nothing currently in the ordinance for that. I'm sure that it could be adopted. The only thing to do with if you do have a business which doesn't have sufficient
But it would seem to me that, we have a very unusual problem. We have trucks that we have to accommodate. I mean, we just can't, they have nowhere else to go. We've got to accommodate them. We're a bit of an eyesore, we realize that. But I mean, it would seem to me that we should maybe be thinking of having designated parking areas and then find some way to charge a nominal fee to park there. I mean, and these people would then know, hey, it's all right to park on this street. I can leave my car for my truck for 12 hours, and I know I'm going to be okay. And maybe that's our way to identifying that we aren't against the trucking industry. We're supportive of it, and we want to set up some way of being able to accommodate them. I don't know if there's enough streets around, Michael. Are there streets enough around?
Well, we certainly have plenty of trucks, and they find places to park. I think, as the Chief mentioned, we don't really have anything in our code now, but there's nothing in our code that says that we can't adopt parking regulations. And just like you could put meters in downtown, you can put another mechanism in to charge truck drivers for parking. I think the reality is you have to figure out, is it going to be worth time and energy with the money collected?
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know, though. It might be profitable. Yeah.
I think we just have to limit. And we already have a limit in our ordinance on how long they can park at any one time.
But I'm just saying, if we had signs up that said, here, this is, you can park here for 12 hours, it's going to cost you $5, put your money in the box, and, you know, then we know we can go and tag them and see if they're there longer than 12 hours, and we can issue them a ticket. It's legitimate, it's in the code, and maybe that's the way of That's one little street, but there's got to be other streets around that have no houses on them that we could just take advantage of the park.
Harry,
is there an ordinance that does not allow the trucks to park in residential?
I think a bigger problem than the parking, I don't want to disagree with all of those things, but what concerns me citywide is the litter issue more, and not just from truckers or anybody. A lot of litter is generated from all of the UPS pickup stores, whatever else. If we were looking at the corner over here by Nine Town Square today, you'll see the whole front bumper of a car that was left where one came in and they changed it. The other day there was a Christmas tree left there. You know, somebody had got it. I don't remember where that one came from. I think maybe after the first of the year when things were a little slower, maybe we need to discuss some more, maybe meet with some of those businesses and see, as you did with the trucking company, if there's some way we could somehow address an area for those people to address that stuff. This is, they unpack their stuff. They don't want to take it back to Canada.
Yeah.
It's going to be an ongoing thing. And we end up with it on our street.
When Raven and I were out visiting businesses, I did notice at least one business that specifically says you can't leave any packing materials there, and they charge extra if you do. And that may be something we want to consider putting an end to, because that, I think, forces the trash out into the municipal garbage cans, and also very likely forces the trash out into the streets and the parking lots. And for some business owners, when they have opened and we've identified a lot of trash generated at their spot, we've been very proactive in saying, you need to have facilities to manage this. Most of the businesses, I think, are very responsible. That won't stop all of their customers necessarily, but they tend to be very responsible. But it is something that we've talked about before, and we can certainly investigate again some kind of a code that just requires that they have adequate trash and recycling facilities.
You'll notice, like, the garbage cans on Peace Portal, a day after they've been dumped, you'll find that pretty much all those are already full of packing.
Right.
So what happens between either the people or the birds or whatever else, whatever is just thrown on top is tracked over. So it's an ongoing problem. It'd be nice to take a look at it again after this year.
I'll take a look at it.
The thing on the trucking, I think it's bothers me, is we have people running around saying, this is a bad thing, and I'm just trying to figure a way where we can change it into a positive thing. We're supportive of these people, but we have regulations, and we're trying to manage the problem. We know it's a problem. The feeling is right now these guys are taking advantage of us, and we're allowing them to. I'd like to change that around. This is a designated area. We want them in this area, as opposed to being anywhere else. So I don't know. It just seems to me that, Clark's running around saying, oh, why are the trucks parking? Well, let's change it and say, the trucks are parking there because we told them to park there.
This is on the Washington coast. This is pretty close to the British Columbia coast down on Vancouver Island. You'll see similar signs with an arrow telling you this way to high ground. And Lane Cook's favorite is in every year's signs. We held out.
I guess I should pay attention since my house is in the yellow zone.
It's going to have to be a really tall wave, I think.
Yes, I think it's going to be.
We'll also do a public advisory.
The old parkway could get covered. The old parkway. Hey, thank you, Chief. City Manager. Finance. Mr. Lazarby.
There we go.
Yes.
All right.
So I just have a couple of quick items. One is scheduling our budget study sessions. Now is the time to start doing that. And in our preliminary calendar, we have two dates tentatively scheduled, and they're generally the off Mondays. And the first one is next Monday on October 20th. And then we have another one on Monday, November 3rd. So the first question is, can everyone make those two meeting dates? And then the second question is starting time. I think in the past we've started at around 5:30. We could start earlier than that, if that works for everyone, at 4:30, and we would be done sooner. I know with certain work schedules it may be difficult, but kind of what's the consensus? What's that?
You're not going to be done by 6.
No, we won't be done by 6. Just make it? Or would 5:30 work better?
Well, I'd
sooner
be better.
Done earlier, okay.
4:30.
Does 4:30 work for everyone then for those dates? Okay. And we will start at 4:30. And then the second item I have is on the audit. The state auditor has completed their 2013 accountability and financial audit, and they held an audit exit conference a couple of weeks ago. And Councilors Olison and Lawrenson were both in attendance, and I'm pleased to report that we came out of it with flying colors, clean audit. Just one small recommendation, and that's to for us to count our petty cash monthly. We're doing it on an annual basis. But other than that, everything looks great. What we're doing in terms of meeting our policies and following state law, we're doing that. And our books, they declared what's called an unmodified opinion, which means that it's basically clean audit of our books as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Chuck. All right. Mr. City Manager.
Council members, just a couple of things. First, I want to just compliment Raven on all the work you did to get that Nature's Path project up and running and sewer flowing, so to speak. I mean, that's been a project that you've started before I got here and was one of your priorities. That's a big deal for us. I want to just thank you for that publicly, make sure you get some recognition for that. Yep. And she's been at it, consistently talking to those folks and trying to get them to understand what we can do for them. And you know, it's been partly a sales job, part it's engineering, part of it's working with staff, so she really needs recognition for that. So thank you. Mm-hmm. A couple of things. The Economic Development Committee meeting is Wednesday at 4:30. I'd planned to meet with Councilman Cotner earlier today, but you know, because of his medical condition, we had to postpone that. We'll get that tomorrow. We'll probably have Cheryl call everybody and send out emails just to remind everyone of the meeting schedule. We had planned to do that today, but weren't able to. So we'll get that tomorrow. Just had a question under unfinished business. We're going to get down to that in a moment. I guess I was thinking when I looked at this agenda that we'd had another executive study session scheduled on this calendar, and we don't. So can we use that unfinished business section for about a half hour conversation, do you think?
Is it for an executive session? Mm-hmm. We could do it at the end prior to adjourning.
Okay.
We could actually go into.
Great, thank you. I just need that clarification. So we'll do that. Shouldn't take very long, but I'd like to wrap up our conversation so we're ready to go later this week. Other than that, it's interesting, as I listen to my staff report on all the activities, you know, cities sure do a lot of different things, from public safety and all the things about trucks and litter and parking and street trees and all the things the city is involved with. And I'm always amazed, even in a small city, it's the same complexity as a larger city. Maybe not as many variables in the sense of population and requirements in that sense, but we have to meet all the law mandates and requirements. Nothing's different. So a lot of work is accomplished in the city, and I appreciate all of that. So thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay. Sherry, is it, we're going to now go back into the special city council meeting.
At this point, it won't be the special council meeting. It's just a continuation of this meeting going into the executive session.
So would we do that at letter I?
Right after I.
Okay.
I've added a J for continuation of the executive session since it was announced.
Okay.
So we are going to go into the special city council meeting?
After the council new business.
Okay.
So you want to walk through the calendar at all?
I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. And unfinished business probably nothing.
Okay. And we'll be back at what time?
By 8 o'clock.
By 8 o'clock?
Okay. We're not expecting any action.
Okay.